Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me. This one sentence, this one question that Martha asks of Jesus, she already believes four lies. Lord, do you not care? First lie is she believes that the Lord doesn't care and he's not noticing. The second lie is that my sister has left me, and therefore she starts to believe I'm all alone, I'm by myself. And then lastly, to do the serving. I have to figure all this out on my own. She believes these four lies that really put her in something of a pit that the Lord's going to have to bring her out of. So often we believe lies about ourselves or about the world around us, and it's just so subtle how Satan slithers into our life, sort of to wreck us from the inside. So I think it's important to enter into this. What is Martha believing about this current situation? And what is her sister doing that seems so honorable to the Lord, that Mary has chosen the better part and it will not be taken from her? First, she believes that the Lord doesn't care. This is so important to get right. Jesus is not indifferent to your suffering. Jesus is not indifferent to your suffering. We think, here I am serving, laboring, working. Nobody's noticing. Nobody's appreciating. And Jesus looks at me every once in a while, but then he has more important things to do, and he goes somewhere else to help somebody else. Jesus tells us in the Gospels, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Jesus is not indifferent to you. He's the good shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep behind to go after the one lost sheep. And maybe you think there's somebody worse off than me. Sure, whatever. But you're the lost sheep all the time. Martha is the lost sheep here and now. She feels like the Lord doesn't care. Jesus tells us, or the Psalms tell us that, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. Fresh and green are the pastures where he gives me repose. That even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because you are at my side. Jesus is not indifferent to your suffering, but he invites us to draw near to him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened. This first lie that Martha believes. She says, my sister has left me. She left me. Sisters are supposed to be there for each other. They're supposed to look out for each other. We have to have each other's backs. We're in this together. Teammates are like that. Classmates, friends, sisters, brothers. We have to look after each other. She feels like, my sister has left me. And this is the one thing that Jesus really responds to. He says, there is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. Mary has chosen the better part. Another translation is that there is one thing necessary. There is one thing necessary. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. What is this better part? What is this one thing necessary? It's not to confuse the means for the end. I know I have to work. I have to show up to work. I've got to go through school. I've got to do all the things. Those are means to another end. Who is the end? It's Jesus Christ. Then Martha is burdened by much serving, and yet she's missing the Lord who's right in front of her, the Lord who's the end of all things, whose reason gives order to everything that I do. And Mary's there, quick to receive, quick to notice, quick to appreciate just being in the presence of the Lord. So we can't confuse the end of all things, Jesus Christ, and the love that he pours out into us for the little trivial things that I have to do now. This is why hope is so important. Hope takes us, the virtue of hope, takes us from what's most immediate, most present, and brings us to what's eternal. That every affliction is momentary and passing, that every difficulty I suffer will wither away in comparison to the riches to be poured out in Christ Jesus. My sister's left me, but she's left me to do the better part, the one thing necessary. Next, she believes, I'm by myself. I'm all alone. And we can be there a lot. We feel like nobody sees us, nobody appreciates us, nobody's noticing the hard work that I'm putting in. Even my spouse hasn't really said anything. My friends don't really get what's going on in my life. Nobody's really there to be with me, to guide me, to lead me. And we believe after that, I have to figure it all out. We are never alone. Jesus is not indifferent to your suffering. Jesus isn't indifferent to the things that you're going through. We are never alone. When God tells us in the Old Testament that he's going to send his son and his name will be Emmanuel, it means God with us. It's so important we call upon the power of God. This most simple prayer that has so much effect in my life is the three words, come Holy Spirit. You call upon God and he shows up. He does. You say, come Lord Jesus, come Holy Spirit. Draw near to me. Come to me all you who labor and are burdened. That we are never alone. And then finally, that I have to do the serving. I've got to figure all this out. Mary's over here doing nothing. And now there's cheese I got to get, there's rolls, there's steak, whatever I need to feed the Lord. I got to get some wine, the water jugs have run out. I got to figure all this out. So much to do, so many tasks. And you're like, yeah, Father, do it all the time. This is our life, the go, 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 being efficient, being proactive. But the lie is that I have to figure this all out on my own because nobody else will do it. I say this a lot in the confessional, that the opposite of faith we think is like atheism or something like that. The opposite of faith is just not believing in God. Even demons know that God exists. It's stupid not to believe that God exists. So Satan knows he can't convince you to be an atheist. So what does he do? He distracts us with all these trivial things, being anxious and worried about many things. The opposite of faith isn't atheism. The opposite of faith is control. It's thinking, this is all going wrong or going differently than my expectations. I guess it's my time, my turn to take over. And we start controlling and manipulating, trying to preserve the outcomes that we desire. And there's no spice of life in that. There's no mystery. There's no surprise. There's no outpouring of grace to let God actually work. It's like my own little world, my own little... What do we call it? What do you call it Christmas time with a snow globe? Snow globe? Is that a thing? It's so small. It's not the real world. Everything's controlled. And yet our world is so small, and yet God wants to open us up to so much more. But when we control our lives apart from faith, this ungodly self-reliance, then we sort of block God out, and he's no longer able to work. So if these are the lies that Martha is believing, that the Lord doesn't care, my sister's left me, I'm all alone, and I have to figure it out. Well, what's the truth then? We can't just live in a world of lies that dictate our whole reality, our whole existence. What's the truth? The truth is that God the Father created and ordered all things to be good, fundamentally good. And that through sin we have been broken, and yet God sent his Son into the world to teach us how to love, to teach us how God loves us, that Jesus went to the cross for us, that he promised an abundance of life, John 10:10, I came that they might have life and have it to the full, and have it in abundance, that Jesus started a church, and that the church will never go away, that the Holy Spirit continues to inspire hearts, that he pours forth his grace every time we show up in prayer, that Jesus gives himself to us in the Eucharist to feed his people, that I am known and chosen and loved by God before he knit me in my mother's womb. That's the truth. And it's liberating. And yet the lies continue to plague us and dictate our entire existence. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her. Today we ask that the Holy Spirit come upon us just so we can renounce all the lies that we believe about ourselves or about others that are really oppressive so that we can live in freedom. Mary's there. She knows her sister is serving. And yet in freedom, she chooses to rest at the Lord's feet to receive from him. I want us to be free children of God, free to love, free to worship, free to live in the truth. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her.